Thanks for joining us for today's Word of Hope from First Christian Church in Burlington, Iowa. In this broadcast, you will hear songs and hymns of praise, the pastoral prayer for the day from our associate pastor, Brooke Anthony, and a message from me, senior pastor Dave Yonker, that I hope will fill your spirit and give you hope. You are always welcome to join us for worship in our sanctuary on Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 10 a.m., here at 1221 Park Avenue in Burlington. For more information, check us out at burlingtondoc.org. You are invited to grow in faith and share God's love through First Christian Church in Burlington.
Will you please pray with me? Dear Lord, we are blessed beyond measure to know you were born to save us all. May we use your words we hear today to save others from evil. Allow us to share the great news so that we may bring light, hope, joy, peace, and love to someone this week who needs it most. May we become closer to you than we have ever been before by opening our hearts. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.
Our first scripture reading today comes from the 148th Psalm, verses 1 through 6. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him, the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He fixed their bounds, which cannot be passed. May God bless this reading of God's holy word. We invite all of our children to come forward for a children's message with Pastor Annika.
Good morning. How are you all doing? That's great. How many of you had a good Christmas? Yeah? And how many of you enjoyed your birthdays this past year? Yours is January still? Okay. So you're going to start the new year out. All right. Well, you've waited a long time to celebrate your birthday, haven't you? Yeah. And those of anyone else have a January or February birthday? No. Some of us had birthdays in December, so we have to wait when January rolls around a really long time. And sometimes, once everything's done, we were so excited for our birthdays or Christmas to come, but then there's nothing left. There's no Christmas trees, there's no lights to look at, no birthday presents to open, no candles to blow out after singing happy birthday. It's gone. And we can feel sad at times that it's all gone. We waited that very long time to celebrate. And now it's over, and there's more waiting to be done. In Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 40, we will learn that waiting for God is always worth it because he keeps his promises. Simeon waited a long time to meet baby Jesus. He waited and waited and was told Jesus would come to Jerusalem and he would get to see the Messiah. God did not disappoint them. He kept his promise and will always keep his promises to us. While it doesn't seem like we have much to celebrate now, we were told differently. When we focus on the good news, we see that Christmas is not only one day. It's God's promise to us every day. While we don't celebrate it every day with big parties, we should, because it's a new day that God has given to us. He is faithful and will always keep his promises to us. And that is worth celebrating every single day. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for always keeping your promises to us. Allow us to be more like Simeon and wait patiently. We know it's hard to wait. We will try hard to remember that what we want is not always what is best for us. You will provide to us what is best. And that we are grateful for. In your name we pray. Amen.
Today we are on the eve of a new beginning, the start of a new year. Some people might worry about what the new year may bring, loss, change, burdens. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, it says, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Here on this Sunday morning, we place our hope in, we place our hope in the Lord as we place our tithes and offerings, so that God may take those tithes and offerings and multiply them and send them out into the world. Our ushers will now collect the tithes and offerings, going down the outer aisles and passing the baskets in. Thank you.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Let earth and heaven the saints proclaim the power and might of His great name.
Join me in prayer. Our thoughts and prayers are with the family of Oki Hayden at his recent passing. Let us pray together. Lord God Almighty, you are the giver of all gifts. We ask that you would bless our gifts and multiply them so they can support us in sharing your love and grace in our community and as a church body. Thank you for all you have given us. We thank you for your many blessings this entire year. We thank you for the new memories we were able to make with friends and family. We thank you for the new friends we met along the challenges we had this year. We thank you for the extra time we had to be with loved ones who were ill. We thank you for your children. The laughter and energy of a child keeps us all young. We thank you for those who have been a light in our lives this past year, when our lives have been filled with chaos. We thank you for giving us comfort when things were tough. Most of all, we thank you for the ultimate gift, your Son. As a body of Christ, we confess that we can stray from you. We get set in our own ways and have a tendency to fix things on our time. Please forgive us as we forgot how powerful your love is. Please forgive us if we have wronged a friend or family member. Our intentions are never to hurt someone, yet we get distracted or overwhelmed, which can cause hurt
to those around us. We ask for your guidance back to you, always and forevermore. Lord, for those who are sick, suffering, lonely, misguided, or just in need of your presence, we ask that you would touch them with your healing, touch them with your guidance, and touch them with your peace. We pray for those who are on our prayer list and those who are in our hearts whose names are not mentioned aloud. Please take away our burdens that have weighed us down this year. We want to lift up those who have recently lost a loved one. We especially ask that you surround Oki Hayden's family as they mourn his loss. May he be remembered for his kindness and love towards everyone he met. Be with their families as they remember the wonderful times they all had together. We ask that you wrap those who need you most in your arms, letting them know your love will never fail. We ask all this in your name. Allow us, Lord, to join our voices together as they become one, as we say your prayer that you have taught us all by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our second scripture reading today comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and to the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when his parents brought him the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, for which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to the people of Israel. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be signs that will be opposed, so that inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There is also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She had never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer, night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Annika. That was a very long scripture I gave you, so thank you very much for reading that for us. Well, it is New Year's Eve. Happy New Year's, everyone. Now, be honest, how many of you came today expecting to see me in a party hat with a confetti cannon and some party poppers? Well, I thought about it. I did. I thought about coming in here with a whole New Year's theme, preaching on one of those classic sermons about the year's conclusion or wrapping up 2023, or maybe about New Year's resolutions, how to set them, how to keep them, and what to do when we inevitably fail to keep them, because we do so often fail. Maybe a theme like New Year, New You. I thought about all of that, but I'm sure that you've heard those sermons a million times before. We could preach a New Year's sermon, but that's not where our scriptures take us today, this Sunday after Christmas. Now, while you may be starting to take down your Christmas decorations, finishing up the last of the Christmas cookies, unfortunately, putting away your festive Christmas clothing, Christmas has just begun for the church. We have just spent a month preparing for and looking forward to the birth of Christ. We've reflected on the hope and the peace and the joy and the love that Christ brought with him when he was born. We've thought about Mary and her once-in-a-lifetime predicament. We've imagined the angels and all of their announcements, the shepherds in the fields, Joseph's role in it all. We have looked so forward to Jesus' coming. And just 1 week ago, we celebrated the birth of the Christ child. We placed the tiny baby Jesus in the manger. We sang about the little town of Bethlehem that welcomed him into the world. We spent a whole month focused on this baby and on the blessing of his arrival. And I hope that each of you had a truly wonder-filled Christmas. I hope it was special and meaningful to you. So the day of Christmas has come and gone, but in the church we are still in the Christmas season. And so the question before us now is, now what? What do we do after the wrapping paper is thrown away? After the lights are taken down and the candles are blown out and the baby is in the manger? We don't read too much about what comes next for Jesus, just a little bit about his upbringing and childhood. We don't know if he was a moody teenager. We don't know if he ignored his curfew. We don't know what his friends were like. We don't know if he went through that horrible body spray phase that most teenagers go through these days. Did he douse himself in so much cologne that Mary and Joseph choked when they gathered at the dinner table with him? We just don't know very much about his life between his birth and his ministry as an adult. So we're left to wonder a bit. What was Jesus like? Who was he? Remember in the gospel stories that Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" He wondered what people thought of him. Did they understand him? Did they understand what he was there for? When he asked the disciples, they said, "John the Baptist or Elijah. Some say you are one of the prophets." When pressed directly, Peter said, "You are the Messiah." So they got it, kind of. But at the same time, we saw again and again as we hear the gospel stories that they did not always understand Jesus. There were so many times when Jesus would give them warning about what was to come and what he would go through, and yet they were shocked and appalled and downright disbelieving about the reality of his statements coming true. So they got it, but they kind of didn't get it. Does that sound familiar? I mean, we know all the statements about him. We know that Isaiah declared that Jesus would be the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We know the things he was called. We know all the expressions of who Jesus was. But right now, 1 week after we celebrated his birth, who would we say that Jesus was? Well, our passage today takes place just 40 days after Jesus was born. Immediately before our reading, Jesus was circumcised and named at the age of 8 days old. But by the time we come to the purification ritual in today's reading, he would have been around 40 days old. Mary and Joseph and Jesus have been traveling for quite some time. They've journeyed from Nazareth to Jerusalem to Bethlehem, back to Jerusalem, all with a newborn in tow and without the assistance of a car or a plane. Now, as someone who's had two babies, I can't quite imagine how trying and taxing this would have been on both parents. But they've arrived now at the temple to make their sacrifice and present Jesus to God. So who is Jesus? Well, Jesus was a person of deep faith. And it began from day one of his parents remaining faithful to God and to God's law. Here in the passage that we just heard read, it is expressed four different times that Mary and Joseph came to Jerusalem to fulfill God's law. And they didn't just drop into the temple because they were nearby. They weren't on their way to the market, and so they stopped off. They didn't go to church as one on just a whole list of errands to run. No, they made a special trip to do as God had called them to do. They brought Jesus to be presented and also to participate in a ritual purification for themselves after the birth of their baby. Nowadays, when a baby is on their way, there are so many special ways that we celebrate, that we look ahead, rituals that we hold dear to celebrate and anticipate the baby coming. We look forward to sharing the initial news with friends and family of the baby's impending arrival. It's a magical time of joy and excitement, anticipation, and perhaps a little nerves. We celebrate with those same family and friends a few months later at baby showers, where the baby's family is showered with gifts to prepare for their coming arrival. We look forward to selecting a name for our baby. Once we've had the baby, we can hardly wait to shout the news to all who will listen, and even to those who won't listen. We're on top of the world to share the good news. It takes so much time to prepare for and welcome a new baby, all accompanied by the joy and anticipation of new life. Now, I would guess that Mary and Joseph surely had some of these same feelings. Hopefully, after the initial shock lessened a little bit, they were able to celebrate and share the news with joy. Amongst all this excitement and change, though, Mary and Joseph made it a priority to follow God's law. They were people of faith, and they raised Jesus as a person of faith immediately from the start of his life. You know, we often give plenty of consideration to the faith that Christ created. And he didn't start out with the intention to create a new religion, but he did invite others to follow him. He taught new ways to understand God's grace and love, new ways to connect with God. And by emphasizing serving and loving our neighbors, Jesus did indeed teach us a new way. But long before this, he himself was a man of Jewish faith, and it was foundational and incredibly important to his parents that he be raised in the faith. In the verses following today's passage, we get just a tiny glimpse into his childhood. And these glimpses all center around their religious obligations. We read of the family traveling to Jerusalem each year for the Passover festival. One of those festivals is where the 12-year-old Jesus was left behind, and his parents searched for 3 days to find him. When they found him, you may remember, he was sitting at the feet of rabbis and teachers, listening to their teachings and asking questions. His life was founded on his faith, and he continued to grow in that faith throughout his life. Now, it's important for us to note this foundation of faith because it helps us understand that Jesus did not abandon the faith of his parents. He was raised as a person of Jewish faith, and he never changed that. He practiced and participated in his faith, and he fulfilled all that was required of him. Jesus was a person of deep faith. Now, Jesus was also a rebel and a threat from day one. Although we sing about silent nights and preach about the Prince of Peace, Jesus was bigger than this. Yes, he brought a peace unlike any the world could or would ever know apart from him. But his peace wasn't the peace in the sense of an absence of conflict. It wasn't quiet and passive peace. His peace had a cost. And he came to bring that into being from the beginning. While they were in the temple, Mary and Joseph met Simeon, an older man described as devout and righteous. He shared a blessing with Jesus' parents and explained that their child was destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. He would be a sign that would be opposed. Simeon knew that Jesus' reign of power would include hardship. Jesus would confront the power structures that were in place, and in doing so, would bring about the fall and then the rise of many people. He warned that this will bring even Mary, his mother, into harm's way, among others. And as we look down the road towards Jesus' ministry and his sacrificial end of life, we can only imagine the pain that would befall Mary. And he defied the leadership of the Roman Empire as he took his place as the Messiah and asserted his role as a king. He was openly challenging and confronting the political leaders of that day. And Simeon saw all of this when looking into the face of one-month-old Jesus. Now, Herod also saw the danger that Jesus would be to his own rule. We'll hear more about the wise men's visit next week, but when they approached Herod, they told him they wished to worship the new king who had been born. Herod, the present king, felt threatened and went about seeking out Jesus and attempting to destroy him. It's not exactly the warm and fuzzy feelings we like to envision with the birth of a new baby, is it? When we sing the songs of Christmas, we imagine a gentle, swaddled, quiet baby in Mary's arms. We think of him gurgling in the manger. We're filled with happiness and sweet, tender feelings. But his life was far more than this. He was born to be a rebel and break with traditions that society and politics had placed around him. We often marvel at the way that he treated others, socializing and spending time with the outcasts that included prostitutes and tax collectors. He defended and protected the poor. He gave love and close contact to those who were considered unclean and dangerous. Jesus did not play by the rules of the times. He was a rebel and a threat to the order and the leaders of the day from the very start of his life. And while he was many things, Jesus was the one that we've been waiting for. Our season of Advent is marked by anticipation. We looked forward to the birth of Christ, and now he has been born. He's the one we've been waiting for, and he's the one so many were waiting for. Simeon knew right away that Jesus was the one he'd been waiting for. God had told Simeon that he would live until he saw the Messiah. As soon as Mary and Joseph and Jesus entered the temple, Simeon knows. He knows he's met the one. And he immediately praises God. He knows that his eyes have seen God's salvation in an infant after he has lived a life of hope and waiting. Waiting for this child, this king, for his whole life. And now he has seen him. He knows his life can conclude in peace, but not just a peace for himself personally. Simeon knows that the peace of Christ will be for all. Now, the next person they meet in the temple is Anna, whom Luke identifies as a prophet, and side note, shout out to the lady prophets. Anna had also lived a long life and was probably over 100 years old by the description given. She was very devoted to God. It says she never left the temple. Now, scripture says that at the moment she came, she began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Anna and Simeon both recognized Jesus immediately, a 40-day-old infant in his mother's arms, and they knew he was the one that they had waited for. They knew he was the hope for an entire people. And we give thanks, knowing that he is the one that we have been waiting for. Jesus is the one who brings a new kind of love to each and every one of us. He brings companionship to the lonely. He broke the rules and opposed the powerful. He brought power and strength to those who didn't have it on their own. He forgave the sins of many and forgives our sins. He is a Savior unlike any other to come. He is God come to earth as a human being. So today, if we were confronted and asked, "Who is Jesus?" we can confidently share the many things that Jesus is to each of us. We can share what he has done for us and who we are today because of him. We can share about his faith, the faith his parents practiced with him from his birth. We can tell people that he was a challenge to the norms of society and government, and he was a threat to those in power. And we can share that the world was waiting for him, and he came to fulfill the prophecies. The Savior who we have waited for has come. Let us adore him. Let us pray. Oh God, we give you thanks for this one who we have waited for. We pray that we would never stop learning more about him, learning more about the life that he lived, the ministry that he shared, the love that he shared. God, may we embody all of his love and his light that he came to share with the world. And may we worship and revere him as the one who we have been waiting for. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this one that we are waiting for, that we have been waiting for, did indeed come as a baby and then grew into an adult, grew into a leader, a prophet, into the Messiah. He ministered and he taught. He led his life. And then he came and he gave his life up. So as we gather around this table each and every week while we worship, we think about the sacrifice that he gave for each of us. And we think of how he forgives our sins. We give so much thanks for the gift that he was. And we tell the story each time, remembering that shortly before he was to be betrayed and handed over to the authorities, he had gathered with his disciples. They were celebrating the Passover together, and as they were eating dinner, he took a loaf of bread, he blessed it, and he broke it. He passed it among them, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body for you." He also took a cup, which was filled with wine, and he passed it among them. He said, "Drink of this, all of you, for this is my blood poured out for you and for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of this in remembrance of me. For as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life and death and resurrection until he comes again." It is for these gifts that we now lift up our prayers of thanksgiving. Let us pray.
Lord, we come to this table today on the eve of the death of the year. Tomorrow it will be reborn. As we are here, we remember the death of something else, the death of your son and his rebirth. It is through his rebirth that we are saved. The path to heaven is paved through his sacrifices that we will remember today. In your name we pray. Amen.